Join the Dark Order.
I'm gonna do some real cowboy shit!
The Dark Side of the Elite, and you are listening to AE.
What the fuck?
Hey, everybody, we're back, Jack. It's us, the Dark Side of the Elite. I am Randy.
Matt Roberts is here.
Eric Reed.
Eric 90 Reed. Yes, we're back, Jack, and we're popping like Jungle Boy. Crowd cursing, I guess, on
excuse me.
Yeah, we're back. You guys told me you were going to the store for cigarettes like 4 months ago, and I've just been sitting here waiting this whole time. All right,
there you go.
It's been awkward every time I have to go down to the bathroom. He's sitting in my studio.
Where are they?
I've still got no milk. Yeah, thank you everybody for reaching out. Yes, we are back. Sorry about the, I guess, the abrupt ending, I guess you can say, to the episodes, but real life stuff comes into play. Medical issues come up, I guess, for some of us, so on and so forth.
You don't need to apologize. Nobody missed us. Who's kidding who? Like, these guys are back again. God, we just got rid of them.
We actually had a lot of response back, so I appreciate every one of you, even you, Derek Cockburn. But yeah, we're back, and we have
since
a new...
Since we've been gone...
He's been waiting.
I gotta ask a question. Is Derek Cockburn like your arch nemesis? Is he your Lex Luger?
Oh, yeah.
You're Lex Luger.
Yeah, he
the
is.
The total package.
Oh, I love you, buddy, but stop texting me at 7 in the morning every single day.
But it's nice to know some things haven't changed.
Eh? Yeah. So, yeah, but how's everybody been? What have you done the last couple of months, I guess?
I'm moving, so it's just been craziness at home, cleaning, packing, searching for a new place, having people come through the house looking to buy. So it's been crazy with that, other than work, and still keeping up on wrestling. That part of my life hasn't changed. I just haven't been talking about it into a microphone, but still been watching. So hopefully that should come in handy for a show like this, right?
Exactly.
What about yourself, Eric? I got a story.
Yeah, I had a near-death experience at work where I was driving Zamboni, I guess, let's say, for layman's terms. But I was driving the Zamboni, and a hydraulic line let go while I was driving it. And I don't know if you've ever seen that Instagram video of the guy driving the machine
yes.
on fire.
Yeah.
But that could have been me at any point in time. So it did catch on fire, but I was not on the ice.
Wasn't it spraying like flaming liquid out into the bay at the rink?
Yeah, when the hydraulic oil gets to a certain temperature, it gets really, really bad. So it was starting to come out at very hot temperatures, and so I just kind of backed behind a piece of metal.
If the building had to burn down, I would have got off work that night.
Next time I'll try hard.
No, you did good, Eric. You did good. You saved yourself. That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
And with me, I guess it's we were playing a game with me this week. I was on another pod with Brendan.
Oh, okay.
And they go, yeah, so the new game show of the week is What's Randy's Medical Condition This Month?
What's wrong with Randy?
What's wrong with Randy? Yeah, so now I'm battling a case of shingles, literally 2.5 weeks out of surgery from the back. So I don't know. I'm here. I'm happy. I'm pumped for this.
I was going to say, you seem in good spirits.
In good spirits? Well, my face looks like it got hit by a shovel.
Yeah, yeah.
AW is brought to us by Shark Week, and this podcast is brought to us by Shart Week, I guess.
But overall, pretty good. I hope you guys enjoy this new show, AEWTF. We talk about the best of the month in July, a couple of different segments, so we're not going to tell you right now, so stay tuned for all of it. Because there's four different segments, four different little things we talk about. So pay attention.
Yeah, we tried to change things up a little bit, spice it up a bit, figure it's a chance to do a little rebrand, a little freshen up of the show. But yeah, it's nice to be back on the SNME network and broadcasting to all of you sexy, sexy people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be a little bit different than Rampage Rollout, where we won't be going as in depth on the play by play. But
yeah, we're not doing move for move or whatever. We're talk about what's hot and what's not, what's going on in the world of AEW for the month. So
exactly. What do you mean? I thought it was move for move for the month.
Yeah, we got 187 matches to review. Yeah. So I hope you guys are buckled up for a 19-hour podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say tune in for the next week and a half while we spout this out.
So grab your favorite Great Lakes beer, a nice pillow and blanket.
Yeah. I'm joking. We're only joking. So I guess, should we get this started?
I'm ready to podcast like an 8-year-old girl.
Let's do it.
As Dax Harwood might say.
Yeah, so this is AEWTF. What the fuck is going on?
With Matt Roberts.
All right, boys. So let's talk about what was going on in the world of AEW this month. I mean, since our last show was WrestleMania weekend, I believe, in April, right? So
was it that long ago?
Yeah. Okay. So not that much has happened in the world of wrestling since we've been gone. You know, Vince McMahon only like disgraced and left the company in scandal.
Yeah.
You know, CM Punk wins the AEW championship, shatters his ankle. Jon Moxley becomes the first 2-time champion. Mm-hmm. Right, so
just like normal stuff then.
Yeah, the top half of the roster has been injured. Just, you know, nothing big has happened at all. So no, nothing to catch up on. But in all seriousness, though, I want to start with what I think has been the hottest thing in AEW, and that's been the Blackpool Combat Club. Here's a group that has quickly rose to the top of AEW. Jon Moxley, first 2-time champion, even though Jericho recently mentioning that he planned on becoming the first 2-time champion, and Moxley had to remind him, he's like, I already am.
Yeah. So. Didn't he have that promo last week where he was talking about you can take that interim and shove it up your butt?
Yeah. And Claudio Castagnoli winning his first world title, which is hard to believe after the career he's had, right?
See, I feel like he had to be tag champ at some point in time, right? In
well, WWE? He was a whole bunch of times, but just first world title as a single.
See, yeah, that's interesting. Like that.
Yeah. I don't even think he was an Intercontinental champion. At really? Any time. So, yeah, just tag team.
I can't remember now. Maybe it was U.S. champ or something like that. Yeah. But still, and Wheeler Yuta holding that pure title. So all three guys, aside from Bryan Danielson, because he's been out injured too, who recently just came back. Losing the Daniel Garcia. But Blackpool Combat Club having three titles in that group and really running roughshod starting from the beginning of July. Was Blood and Guts at the beginning? That was right at the end of June, was it?
Yeah, it was right at the end of June. So we're beginning of the month, we were kind of in fallout of Blood and Guts.
Right. Yeah. So we had the unique Rampage Rumble that Brody King won. And that led to him getting the title match with Jon Moxley. So it was cool to see Brody King get elevated into like that main event scene. But still, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. What a weird match that was for him to win it, eh? A different type of battle royal.
Yeah, the two-ring battle royal.
And if you were in ring A, you were in trouble.
Why is that?
Well,
that was
the big stacked.
Yeah, it was a that was like ring. Keith Lee was in that one.
Yeah, that was the hot, the Haas ring.
Yeah. And then the B ring there. I don't know. I just paid attention to the A ring. But yeah, you're right. Brody King winning that first.
Yeah.
That chance.
Yeah. So they, Jon Moxley is making a case again to be like in the conversation for Wrestler of the Year. So he had a great match with Brody King. And went on to have another great match with Takeshita as well.
Yep. And who is slowly becoming AEW's new favorite New Japan wrestler.
Well, and he's
in a lot of stuff right now. Like every single week I seem to see his name back up again.
He's a DDT contracted talent, is he not?
Right, he's going home at the end. Well, literally at the end of this month, I think. So
oh, okay.
Going back. So, but yeah, what a run for him too.
We
talk about that because those are good matches.
Yeah, absolutely. So Yeah. Also, I guess with Blackpool Combat Club, I've really been digging how William Regal is on commentary for all their matches.
Yeah.
He's really been adding a lot to the broadcast, and I kept laughing because he mentioned it at Death Before Dishonor and on Dynamite this week. Of anytime one of his guys takes a pile driver, he's like, "I told them to turn their neck to the side, because that way, if you don't get dropped right on your head, it's not as bad." Just little things like that really like add a lot for me.
Oh yeah.
So
it's definitely been better than Jim Ross's. Commentary.
I want to talk about commentary a little bit. I don't know if we can just get into this now. This segment's going to be like all over the place. We're going to be branching off from this to that to the other. So it's going to be a little free flowing until we kind of get our rhythm down a bit. But whatever. So yeah, Jim Ross, he was moved from the first hour of Dynamite to the second and was doing Rampage, right? Which I think is good because God bless good old JR. Sassafras. But he's kind of a little bit, I hate to say it, he's like not quite what he used to be, which is no shame. He's been through a lot and he's a little bit older, right? But I like the addition of Taz on commentary there for the, at the beginning of Dynamite now. And being honest too, listening to the commentary on Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor, I am a big fan of Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman.
Yeah.
And I am a much bigger fan of their presentation of the product on commentary than what we're getting on Dynamite, and that includes Excalibur.
Wow.
I don't know. Me, I like it a lot more. I like it a lot more, and I would love to see those guys come to AEW and do the thing over there if it was up to me. It's not, but I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, they're doing matches on like Dynamite, not on Dynamite. Rampage has kind of become the ROH show right now. Mm-hmm. Until they can figure out a way to have ROH as its own show. Because I think that would be a good one, maybe either to replace Dark or Dark Elevation. You could have like ROH on YouTube maybe or something like that. But I get he probably wants to put it out as a national show.
By the sounds of it, Tony Khan's working on getting a TV deal for ROH.
And supposedly he's close. But yeah, I like them both too. Like they're the best in the business.
Caprice Coleman and Riccaboni?
Yes, 100%. But if all three of them with Excalibur were together, mm-hmm. great. Or just them two with a floating co-host type thing would be great. But yes, with ROH being its own show or going to be its own show, they're just best to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about the Jericho versus Eddie Kingston barbed wire everywhere match, and what an absolute cluster duck quack that was.
Well, Jericho, I think on that spot where his nose got broke, did it sort of to himself.
He broke his own nose.
Yes, with that chair.
Yeah,
and it didn't look you knew right away when he did it though.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But I liked the match up until that point. Like, or close.
The finish was totally bumbled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a lot going on, including Anna Jay leaving the Dark Order and becoming stealing, or instead of AEWTF, it's Anna JAS, stealing our gimmick before we can even get our first show out, kind of.
I had it copyrighted before that.
Yeah. But so Anna Jay comes out, turns heel, and then Ty Conti couldn't get the key to work on the shark cage.
Yeah, and that was bad.
So they lower the cage, and the guys just slide out between the bars anyway. And the finish, too, there was Eddie Kingston went to hit the spinning back fist, totally misses Jericho, and then Sammy Guevara punches Jericho by mistake. Like, it was totally just bumbled. And then Jericho gets the win over Kingston, but then Kingston gets some heat back, throwing him into that barbed wire spider web or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That was probably the best part of that entire match. Anna Jay turning heel is what I meant.
The best. Literally, yeah.
Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, the whole match was like, I don't know. It was just strange just because Jericho has had some good hardcore matches in AEW and in general in life. But like, that was not it, unfortunately.
Again, I think it was when his nose, and I guess if you break something on your face, you know, you can sort of switch it up.
Your eyes tear up and your face swells and there's blood everywhere too.
But I honestly enjoyed it up to that point. Anna Jay jumping ship on the Dark Order.
How dare she?
I'm fucking pissed. Well, hopefully she pushes. No, pushes. Sorry. Yeah. Hopefully she pushes. I'm on a roll, folks. Just like WWE, we are PG-14.
TV-14. Radio-14.
Right in R.
But I hope she starts pushing around Sammy like she used to do with Stu.
Yeah, right. That's Ty Conti's job.
I was going to say. Nah, she's in her own league of her own now.
Before we move on to the next point, do you guys think that they're going to the well with these gimmick matches way too frequently? Because Tony Khan loves to throw out a barbed wire death exploding ring cage shark match every week, it seems like.
I don't know, because it seems like they've been doing it forever now. It doesn't really faze me as much anymore. Like,
I think that's part of the problem.
I think the barbed wire thing, like, everywhere. The last time that I really remember thinking about it was that exploding barbed wire death match. When's the last time you seen a barbed wire match?
Well, they had Nick Gage came in and did all that stuff too. Was that after that? Yeah.
Yeah. The thing,
just the amount of gimmick matches in general, they're entertaining.
But the majority of the people that were involved, if you think of it this way, is Jon Moxley now and Chris Jericho.
Always.
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 90% of these gimmick matches.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion on that. that's the reason, because Moxley, I think. Moxley, if he doesn't bleed, he doesn't want to be in it. So
yeah, that's actually true. Didn't he just have a match on Dynamite where he bled this week?
And Moxley, I'll give him credit. He loves the gimmick, like, death matches, or for lack of a better term. But he's actually, like, very well-rounded as a wrestler, too. Like, especially since joining Blackpool Combat Club. Like, his style, I've been a big fan of. Like, really aggressive, stand-up, strong-style, hard-hitting matches. And very believable as a character and everything he does. Yeah. So as much as for me, I wish they would tone back the gimmick matches a little bit, just so that when they do happen, they feel a little more special. Because I'm kind of like immune to it, numb to them a little bit now. But
I find he has a problem with stipulations more than he does.
That's what I mean.
It's always like a perfect example is Yuta's coming up this week against Chris Jericho, where he's going to have, he doesn't have to put up his pure title, but Jericho has to put up his shot against the interim. Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of that stuff where it's like the teacher versus student with, Lee Moriarty versus that. It's a grudge match essentially, but it's not like, you know what I mean? There's such abstract concepts that I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah. Cause it's trying to keep every match a little bit different, a little bit interesting to try
mean
to
something.
Draw viewers to them. Yeah.
Give you a goal.
Yeah,
for sure. Maybe right now, before we move off of Blackpool Combat Club totally, let's get it out of the way. Do you want to talk about Claudio and maybe his match with Jonathan Gresham at Death Before Dishonor?
Oh, absolutely. So, I would love to talk about all of Death Before Dishonor, because that is the highlight of the month, period.
Okay, let's just do that show right now then real quick.
Okay.
Right? So news comes out after the show that Jonathan Gresham cusses out Tony Khan backstage. So that comes out in like PW Insider and Meltzer, and all those guys have the reports. So apparently Gresham was not too happy about having to lose the title, and I guess cited like a lack of communication the whole time he's been under contract with AEW and ROH. And the funniest part is, apparently, this is the word on the street, that he cited his ranking in the PWI 500 as to a reason why he should like go over or be at least presented better, which is such mark talk, because that's not a real it's not a real ranking, you know what I mean? It's
what
not,
do you mean? Are you telling me all this is a lie?
Randy
all my
was
life
right at, Randy was right, top 25 pro wrestlers of 1978.
Yeah. I mean, Dean Malenko was number one year, and WCW didn't put the strap on him either. So
well, the thing with Gresham, that my opinion on it, I don't know if it was him just losing the title from what I'm reading or hearing anyways on all those different websites. It was more on the outcome of, or the planning months ahead.
Right.
Right. So, and I agree, like, if you own a company, Claudio's the best to look at. Like, you know what I mean? He's well known.
Honestly, the second the two of them were toe-to-toe at the start of that match, it's like, who would you rather want to build a restarted ROH around as your champion? It's right. Claudio Castagnoli all day long. I'm sorry, Jonathan Gresham, but to re-bring ROH back into the mainstream now, Claudio is a much better choice. Nobody really, I hate that, knows who he is. He's not, he's a great wrestler, Gresham is, but not on the mainstream, like in America. Like, yeah, he's not the same type of household name that Claudio is. And he doesn't have that same, like, just appeal. He doesn't have that charisma that Claudio does. And I think they made the right to, hey,
no, I'm just not saying they didn't. Opinion. No, using Claudio because of his name and how big he is,
he's
totally agree.
Better. He's over. He's better.
And
it's,
he deserves
the right choice. He it's absolutely it. The right choice, in my opinion. I get Gresham being pissed off, but I think the way he, the hissy fit he threw, even Prince Nana, his new manager, they kicked Tully to the curb. That's a whole other story.
That was like not long after the whole Gresham thing, too. That's funny.
Prince, the morning of.
Yeah, Gresham didn't even wait for Nana to come out of the entranceway on his entrance. Name. Yeah. Like, yeah. But Nana buried Gresham even on Twitter, if you want to look that up. But
Gresham's a great, and all in all, I've seen Gresham in many different matches, indie way. Anyways, he is a great wrestler. He should be bigger than he is.
But he's very short.
He's very short, but it's like when you watch Rey Mysterio versus a giant, stuff like that. Like, I get it because he is that good. And the smart internet fans, whatever, watched his match and they get it. I get what everybody's saying. Well, it'll look different. Claudio, yes, 10,000%. He should have got that belt right away because he can be promoted that way. But Gresham quitting, he's a great wrestler. They should definitely acknowledge it. And he carried that ROH belt in a pandemic and defended that belt. Tony should have just gave him a little more listening.
Well, nobody was watching it, to be perfectly honest, like at that time, too. Really.
Yeah.
Like, when you talk about big numbers, that's the thing. Like, Gresham, you cited Rey Mysterio, but Rey was on national TV and was very, like, had a charisma about him that, like, was captivating. Like, Gresham needs an opportunity to get on TV and maybe build himself up that way, but he wasn't over yet, and in the sense of to be the guy to carry the torch for ROH to start once they get back on TV and all that. I think Claudio is the right choice, and it's unfortunate the way Gresham reacted and has quit. And like, I don't know if he's done with wrestling. I think he deleted his Twitter and closed down his school and all this stuff.
He didn't close down his school. He closed the Twitters for Terminus and that. But
right,
he's not going to quit. He's done it before. He's done it 100 times.
Apparently he's booked on the Ric Flair retirement show too, I think, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, right. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah,
right. That Ric Flair show is going to be interesting.
Yes. The roast last night was pretty fun.
I'm not going to pay for it to watch it, but I'll be excited to see how it turns out. So continue on with Death Before Dishonor. Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta had a great showing on that pure title. And do you remember what all the rules are for the pure title? It was what, 3 rope breaks allowed, no closed fists?
Yeah, no closed fists is a disqualification. Man, this pop quiz here for me. But they have to, like, you're allowed to have it before a pinfall.
Does have
that
make what?
Sense? Like the 3 rope breaks, so on and so forth. So they'll count 1, 2, 3. Yeah. The third one, it's over. It's
Yeah. So like, yeah, like after you hit your 3 rope breaks, you can go for a rope break, but it won't matter. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And William Regal on commentary was saying, like, if Wheeler Yuta wins by decision or any other way than like a tap out or pinfall, he was going to be really disappointed in him. And after Yuta won the match, Regal even noted, like, he didn't even need to use 1 rope break. I don't even know if Garcia used a rope break. Did he?
Yes,
Garcia
one.
Used one.
Used one. That was the only thing.
Right? I like the pure title's a cool twist. It's a little bit of a different presentation for, like, a wrestling match and adds a little bit of, a guideline for the wrestlers to work to tell a story in the ring there. And those two guys, like, literally slapped the crap out of each other in that match, too. Like, it was a really good match. I'm a big fan of both those guys.
I didn't find it even so much the hard-hitting style that was impressive. It was more the fact that, like, their technical wrestling was, like, on par that entire match. Like, I know Garcia to be a better technical wrestler than, like, a lot of guys, but, like, Wheeler Yuta really impressed me again.
Yeah.
He's been constantly impressing me every single week. Like,
When Wheeler Yuta first hit the scene in AEW, I don't follow the indie wrestling as much as, say, like, Randy or even you do, Eric. Okay. So I was like, who is this guy? And there was nothing really that stood out to me about him. He was in, like, the Best Friends as, like, their young boy, for lack of a better way to put it, or whatever, right? Yeah. And he was just kind of bland, no personality, didn't really have a charisma. I could see he was a great worker. But since that match he had with Jon Moxley and being accepted in the Blackpool Combat Club, he's really taken it to the next level. And I've become a big fan of his. He's won me over in a big way.
Yeah, both of them exactly for me. Like, well, Daniel Garcia, everybody knows I'm a Daniel Garcia mark.
You've been on the Daniel Garcia train since day one of this show, really.
All aboard. But back to both of them were great, and I loved this match. I loved it was like a fight. I loved the technical wrestling. I loved this story. And as we find out, too, we eventually find out, like, Yuta wins. I didn't get it first, but I sort of get it now, I guess you can say. It doesn't matter. All of us win. All of us win on that.
Tony Khan's looking at the Blackpool Combat Club and saying, I want like Yuta, Moxley, and Claudio to hold titles. That's the dominant faction in AEW right now.
Yeah, correct.
Bryan Danielson is back now, too. That they're on top of AEW right now.
So it'll eventually turn into Blackpool versus the Elite, right?
Oh, Is that what we're thinking? I can't wait.
Once Big Dick Omega gets back in the game.
Oh, I can't. I've been missing Kenny so much. Get well soon, Kenny, please. Those trios titles have now been unveiled, and the tease is maybe Bucks with Hangman entering that tournament. Well, the tease, like, because they mentioned that on Dynamite, right, where Cutler was filming the promo, and then Hangman came into frame, and then Dark Order came in.
What if Kenny comes back?
What if? Yeah, we'll see. But they also said the Undisputed Elite will be back next week, too. So Red Dragon and Adam Cole are
then
back.
And then Kenny comes back and points to the WrestleMania sign. A little bit of a throwback sign.
Bang. But, did you guys have any thoughts on Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe? That match was a little underwhelming for me. The whole build-up to it, too. It's not terrible, but it didn't really stand out as something that we really need to spend too much time on.
To be honest, for me, like, that was a bathroom break match, which is unfortunate. Wow, because It shouldn't be, but it was just, I was watching for so long. I was just like, I got to go to the bathroom.
No, fair enough.
I missed a good chunk of
literally
it.
Literally a bathroom, yeah.
It was a very literal, I had to go to the bathroom. And then I came back and I had missed so much of it. And it was still great, like what I saw of it, but yeah.
The whole card top to bottom was good. Good.
Even that Roosh match with Dragon Lee wasn't bad. It was pretty good.
With that match in particular, I put it probably in the bottom three.
Really?
Yeah, I would have. I didn't really enjoy
Dalton Castle, because that was a shame too.
What? You didn't like that? No,
it was a good match. I just thought if you're looking at the actual card itself, like you had
on paper.
Not even on paper.
Like think about the matches we just talked about already. We haven't talked about Dalton Castle and the boys versus, you know what I mean? It was great to see him back on, you know, in pay-per-view and back on ROH, and I was really happy to see him, but really, he got kind of outshined by Yuta and Garcia, if I'm being honest. Like, you know, or even, let's be honest, like the ROH championship match. Like, that was an afterthought, is the Dalton Castle match.
Well, let's be honest. This whole show was sold on one match, really. There's one match that everyone bought this show to see, and that was FTR and the Briscoes.
Oh.
Let's cut to the chase here.
No, there was one more match before that I think should have been the selling point.
Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez? Yeah,
absolutely.
That was a great match. That was one of the better women's matches I've seen in a long time, actually.
To be honest, I'm kind of losing interest a little bit in the women's division in AEW, which is a shame because
it's never really got me from the get-go. Something's still off there, aside from Britt Baker's run.
No, I mean, I thought like Jade Cargill, like when she went TBS, actually, that was interesting.
I like her in the baddies now
with Stokely Hathaway.
Actually a positive for sure.
Yeah, there is some good parts to it. It needs, like, Anna Jay turning heel, I'm hoping can maybe do something to it.
It's breathed life into her. Yeah. As a character, I think.
Correct. And like stuff like that. But this match, Mercedes Martinez versus Serena Deeb for the ROH Women's Championship, was what women's wrestling in AEW should be.
Yeah.
Like that's what it should be. Like I loved every second of that match. I couldn't take my eyes off it. Definitely not a bathroom break match, even though I had to go to the bathroom.
I love Serena Deeb. She's the Bret Hart of the women's division for me. I'm a big fan of her. She's my favorite women's wrestler going.
It's funny, I met her a week and a half, no, 2 weeks, a week before
this
match.
Yeah, that's right, you did, right?
And I sat and talked to her and like was hyping this match or just talking to her about it. And she said actually she was a little nervous, but she's excited for it too. It was another great fight with a lot of submission attempts. Good story. Probably to me, and it's only my opinion, was probably the best women's match of the year. So, yep.
No, I would agree with that right now.
Like, I really, really liked the match. Even the match that I saw with her that week before was fantastic. And if you're in the Toronto area, she is coming back in October. But no, I don't know. I'm on the Serena bandwagon fully right now. So again, I guess I'm marking out to that.
So FTR and Briscoes. These guys, I didn't think it was possible to top their first match, but if it wasn't topped, it was definitely right on par. Another 5-star tag team match. That's
7-star.
Should be 7-star FTR. Absolutely.
7-goddamn-star. That was the... I will tell you right now, I likened it to... I was telling Randy, I likened it to them versus DIY
and right.
NXT...
Takeover Toronto, right?
Yeah, Takeover Toronto. Because we were there at that match, and I'll tell you right now, that was the only better 2 out of 3 falls match I've ever seen them compete in. They've been in a lot. They've been in quite a few.
FTR has had that mantle like placed upon them for a very long time, even back when they were the Revival, that they were the best tag team in the world. And the Young Bucks really sold everybody and had everyone convinced, including myself, that they've been the best tag team in wrestling for a very long time.
Not anymore, baby.
And a lot of people say the whole reason FTR got their name is Duck the Revival. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
So, and they've embraced it and really have finally, after like a year or two, have had a chance to really shine now in AEW and been given the ball. And not just in AEW, they're ROH tag champs, IWGP, right. AAA. And right now, today, I'm a huge Young Bucks fan, but I will concede that FTR is the best team going in the biz right now.
FTR used and the promo what they used, and even the Briscoes, if you watch the YouTube for it, using real life stuff going into a match, using that match with real life stuff in a story. Now, Dave Meltzer gave it a 5-star, and why didn't you give it a 7-star, Eric?
Because it wasn't in the Tokyo Dome.
To me, I agree with you, Matt, too. Sorry. It was better even than their match earlier. A lot of people are saying, no, the first match was better.
You can't go wrong. They were both. Those are two of the best tag team matches I have ever seen in my life, period.
Probably the top two matches of the year.
Honestly, Dax Harwood himself is making a case to be wrestler of the year. Like he has been unbelievable. Nothing, not taking anything away from Cash because he is unbelievable in his own right. But Dax Harwood, my goodness, like the two of them together is just an absolute absolute magic. And his promo going into that show, telling the real life story of his own daughter with the hole in her heart.
Yeah.
That I'm going to fight like an 8-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I could listen to Dax Harwood tell me, and back at home, there was this little dog that got hit by a car when it was taking out the trash. And now he's in one of those little wheelie chair things and he's got to wheel around the neighborhood. And I'm going to fight for that. Like he could go on about anything. And I'd be like, duck, Dax Harwood.
and the Briscoes, like YouTube promos went with the FTR going back and forth was really, really good too. Like
the first ones that they did were like top notch tier.
Yes. And then even like the last one before when they had the meeting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They had the meeting. That was good. You want some wine? Look at that. But both of those teams using real life stuff. Don't get me wrong. FTR can put over any team. But when both of those teams, like they're like the two best teams, tag teams right now in the world.
Yeah.
Shows. It just definitely shows.
And we haven't even really mentioned the Briscoes specifically yet. Like, I can't take anything away from them too, because it takes two to tango in these matches.
Well, they've done it all. They really have.
It is such a gosh darn shame that the Briscoes aren't in AEW for whatever reason. Those tweets from 10 years ago by Jay Briscoe, the network execs, they'll let Nick Gage on TV, but they won't let the Briscoes. It doesn't make any sense to me.
With a bank-addicted drug robber?
Yeah, exactly.
And Dax with the 8-year-old promo, but then Mark doesn't even bring up that he has 8 kids. So he couldn't have brought that up. I was waiting for that. Oh, but no, all in all, it was like really, really, really good match, really good month, really good year for FTR.
Well, Tony Khan was asked in the press scrum, and if anyone's not watching these press conference scrums after these pay-per-views,
yeah, they're unbelievable.
They really shed a lot of like light and insight onto these people. It's such a weird mix of real press conference, sport-like presentation where you're talking to the real person, but also mixed with a little kayfabe. Like, they even shot a weird little angle with Garcia and Yuta in the press conference after.
Yeah.
So it's such a weird little blur of the lines, but they're really interesting. But the Briscoes, like I was saying, I wish they were in AEW, but Tony was saying they are figured in long-term to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And the one thing I'll say is kind of a shame about the series of matches so far is FTR's won both. So if you were to do a third one, it's not really a rubber.
Briscoes have to win, though.
It's not really a rubber match now. Even if Briscoes win the third one, they're still down 2-1 if you were to look at it that way. But yeah. I get putting FTR over because Tony's got them on his big his big league show.
It is smart because they're fantastic right now. They're hitting their stride. They're in their prime.
Yeah.
Wow. What? A little bit past their prime, but they're still performing like they're in their prime.
And I wonder if this leads to, it's all building to FTR winning the AEW titles maybe at All Out as well. Maybe it's Keith Lee and Swerve against them.
I can see it.
Because the rumor was that we were going to get the rubber match of Bucks and FTR for the tag titles, right? And everyone, well, not everyone, but the scuttlebutt in the Twitterverse is Young Bucks avoided losing the titles to FTR, so they dropped. But I don't think that's true because it was supposed to be the Hardy Boys winning that ladder match until Jeff Hardy'd it up. Some lot to rambling now a little bit, but
yeah, that's okay. There is one thing I did want to talk about this month, and that's the our brand new FTW champion, which happened earlier this week. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I know we should talk about Wardlow winning the TNT championship, but I feel like this has been completely overshadowed now.
For us, anyways.
Let's clarify.
Grab the lotion, Matt.
We got enough time to hit on both here. So yeah, speaking of swerves, Hook, Danhausen just gets murdered by a Ricky Stark spear like right away, right?
Yeah, instantly.
So Hookhausen's partner, Hook, comes down and taps out Ricky Starks.
Yep.
Surprisingly.
With the red rum.
With the red rum. And Taz, poor Taz on commentary. He's like so proud of Hook, but torn that Ricky. Yeah.
He's like, oh my God. Have to keep kayfabe. Don't break kayfabe. He's sweating.
It was a great spotlight for Team Taz in general. And then Tony Schiavone hits the ring to interview poor Ricky Starks after his loss. And Powerhouse Hobbs turns on his partner Ricky Starks and just trucks him, lays him out. So I'm excited for babyface Ricky Starks.
Yeah, definitely going to go that way. And his big
the
push,
Rick.
Probably to the TNT title. I would TNT, him against versus Wardlow would be good, but that would be face versus face.
AEW doesn't seem to care about that dynamic because that happens all the time, right?
But it actually looks like it's going to be Jay Lethal next or Satnam Singh based on this past week.
Starks or Wardlow?
Against Wardlow.
Wardlow. Yeah, that's just someone for Wardlow to mow down.
But here's the start.
Satnam is a guy for him to mow
down. Yeah, he's not going to. They're not putting the title on Satnam Singh. I'm sorry. It's going to be like Wardlow's going to beat this really big dude and look impressive as hell doing it.
Well, obviously, Starks versus Hobbs first, I think it would start going. But at least
I'm excited for that.
But at least Starks is finally going to get his well-deserved. Because the guy on a promo is absolutely amazing. His wrestling is amazing. His looks amazing. Everything about him is amazing.
He reminds me so much of The Rock. That's why I call him The Rick. Right? Like, he reminds me so much of The Rock. It's maybe Wardlow, any other thoughts on him winning the TNT title too?
I mean, that match between him and Scorpio Sky just looked like a brutalization, but they did kind of make Scorpio look a little bit stronger.
Yeah,
but like,
as Orange Cassidy did,
but we all knew going into that Wardlow. Yeah, that's actually a fair point. Orange Cassidy, they made him look really strong against Wardlow.
There was a lot of criticism that why is Wardlow selling so much for someone the size and style of Orange Cassidy. I don't care. That match was entertaining.
He literally had like a bunch of championship matches. He's not a nobody on their roster.
Orange Cassidy's Tony Khan's guy, and everyone is told to like have competitive matches with them and kind of Because you'd think that a lot of guys would just slap him around, right?
I understand the match. I understand the theory to that match, everything else with that match. But I wouldn't have put that match on at all. I would have had Wardlow go through a Goldberg run, going through, like, everybody.
Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh.
No, not necessarily Satnam Singh. And he turns into a Shanky.
Well, Goldberg did it to the Giant. Goldberg used to jackhammer the Giant, right?
Right, right. But I just want him to go on, like, this Goldberg run and, like, just destroy everybody. Throw him.
He has been. Like, he's been murking everybody.
Yeah, yeah, but they put him against Orange Cassidy on the second week.
After winning the title?
Right. You don't do that. Put him on the run. So let him go.
You know what was embarrassing?
All out.
That 20-on-1 against the security guards, right. that was embarrassing.
That's what it...
That was terrible.
So the theory of the match, going back to it, is there's no way that, which everybody's complaining about, that Orange Cassidy should have put any offense in. Because Wardlow, 4 weeks before that, just destroyed 20 people.
Right, that's why it's not realistic. But if you, in a vacuum, just watching that one match, it was a good, entertaining match. Like, I had fun watching it, but you would think the way Wardlow's been presented, it shouldn't have been that much of a struggle. But Orange Cassidy seems to be, he's booked to be competitive no matter who's in there against. It doesn't matter, he's booked to be competitive.
Who's watching wrestling in a vacuum, though?
I told you not to bother me when you're cleaning my room.
I love AEW, but let's be honest too. Like, the booking of it is very, what's the word? Like, it's chaotic. Like, it's all over the place sometimes. Like,
to you.
Things don't. Yeah, yeah.
You're not a genius like Tony Khan. So.
No. Or, well, the one thing I'll give Tony Khan credit for is MJF leaves AEW. Right? We didn't even touch on him yet because he left since we left too. He took his ball and went home just like we did.
Yeah.
But filling the void.
Hi, everybody. Kidding. Thanks for listening in. We are the Dark Side.
I'm just kidding. But who's filled the MJF void has been Christian Cage.
Yes.
And this is something I really wanted to hit on before we run out of time here on this segment of the show. Christian Cage filling the MJF void of being that dastardly mother effer heel on the show.
He really needs to lay off the dead dads. That's all I'm going to say.
And I want to give guys here a little bit of a sampling of what Christian Cage has delivered in, since turning on Jungle Boy. So Christian Cage, he's the best piece of you-know-what heel ever going right now. So one might say he's the Michael Jordan of being an asshole, which I think came from Matt Hardy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So here's the sample of Christian's work so far. In regards to Jungle Boy's mother sitting in the front row, you raised a piece of shit.
Wow.
Okay.
Got him.
And then Christian says, okay, she was a little sweet on Christian Cage, if you know what I mean. I think she wanted to me to be Jungle Boy's father. But here's the thing, Jungle Boy. I never wanted to be your father. I never wanted to be your father figure. You have a father, and your father's dead.
That's too far. It's too far.
Like, some might say it's too far, but it is absolutely hilarious to
like
me.
Like, I'm laughing about it because it's funny now thinking about it, but it's like, in the moment, I was like, what a carny bastard.
Yeah. So Tony Schiavone tries to get an apology out of Christian the next week for his comments, and Christian says, Jungle Boy, I'm sorry that your entire family is dead and that they had to witness me end you in that ring 2 weeks ago. So, and then Christian makes the call me sign to Jungle Boy's mom,
yes.
Which Jungle Boy responded in turn to Christian's ex-wife.
Yeah.
After ripping back at him for being divorced this week.
So the week before when he came out and Luchasaurus turned like right back, I was like, it's weird that he's turning like so quickly. Like after, I thought like,
I hated
was gonna
that
be at least a stare down, but the whole segment with like him chasing down was hilarious.
Yeah.
You need Christian Cage to be like a bumbling like idiot, like a Virgil now, like on the back. Like event is exactly how MJF does.
He's
it.
The cowardly heel.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Luchasaurus turn and turn back didn't make any sense to me. Like, cause when Luchasaurus first grabs Christian by the neck the week after turning on Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
Christian says something about remember what happened with Marco's stunt. And then that's what's made Luchasaurus stop, as if like Christian had some dirt as to why Luchasaurus did something to Marco, or,
yeah.
And they were going to explain this like a couple weeks later, but that's when they were interrupted by Matt Hardy, who just got shredded by Christian too, saying that Matt makes his brother Jeff seem like the sober one, and that Matt Hardy was the disgrace to the family. Some more sick burns there. So
the memes that came out of that were like the best, with like they show they would show like people, like it would be like pictures of people who are supposed to be front row with like, "Hey Superman, I gotta tell you something about your dad." Like,
you know what I mean? Yeah. But so again, just Luchasaurus turns into like emo Reptar for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden like beats up Griff Garrison because he looks like Jungle Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, if I'm all these other guys that Luchasaurus beat down all these last couple weeks, it's like, dude, what the hell? You did all this shit to me, but you were really just like pretending to be Christian's buddy. I didn't like how they handled Luchasaurus like that. It didn't really make sense how he would turn, do Christian's bidding, and then turn back, and they never resolved the Marco stunt comment. Maybe it's not over yet. The angle's still going on.
And that's the main thing. It's not really like...
I would have liked to see Luchasaurus... I don't know. I don't like how they handled it. I don't know what you guys think about the whole Christian Jungle Boy thing. Just tried to condense it all into a couple minutes
here. I've been enjoying the promos back and forth from Christian and Jungle Boy. The Luchasaurus thing, I don't know. I heard the Marco stunt thing too. Luchasaurus, it's a boy and his dinosaur... So they should never break up, right?
It didn't make sense for Luchasaurus to even pretend to be Christian's lackey then.
Well, maybe going all mead, Jungle Boy, like the Jungle Boy's wearing black leather jacket now and everything else. So maybe they're going all dark and gonna like...
No, that's not like... I don't know. They just went right back to the same position they were in before. They're just both babyface tag team again.
Now he says bad words.
Now he says angry. Words like... He's angry at the Bond villain that... Yeah.
Too far.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I've been digging it, but I didn't like that booking aspect of it, of how they handled Luchasaurus. I would have kept him heel myself. Yeah.
There is one storyline we should probably touch on, because if I've seen... I don't know what happened in my life in the last month, but all I do is look at memes all day. And I'll tell you the number one storyline that's been memed to death this month is Billy Gunn turning on the Acclaimed, and now it's the Acclaimed versus the Ass Boys.
Yeah,
and
that's been a lot of fun, actually.
There's been some crazy stuff, like when Billy Gunn turned on them, that was huge.
Yeah,
it was actually kind of cool.
Another turn that was like 1 week long.
But well, it was a couple weeks, but like still, like even I was actually like, "You son of a bee." Like, you know what I mean? I was genuinely upset about that.
Yeah.
But it all culminated yesterday. Well, it culminated in a rap battle.
The rap battle on Rampage was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. And then they dropped a video yesterday or last week on Rampage as well.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And culminating in a dumpster match this week. So that's going to be pretty cool. But like, I feel like you can probably wrap up that storyline pretty soon. You know what I mean?
I think the Acclaimed and Gun Club are a great example of two teams that really started from the very bottom of AEW, like pretty close to day one in AEW, both those groups. And they've really like built themselves up a following and built themselves like into like a great act. Both of them, Gun Club and Acclaimed. I'm a fan of both groups now. Yeah. It's taken a while to get where they're at now, but I think they've done a great job. And original characters that weren't WWE creations, they're AEW originals, and I've liked what they've done.
A year ago, Matt was saying Max Caster was his favorite wrestler.
First episode, we had to review 15 matches on AEW Dark on the very first episode of this show.
And right here on this very network.
On this very network, yes. You can go find that in the archives. But Max Caster stood out to me right away. I was like, who's this John Cena dude coming out here? But he's won me over right from day one, too. So kudos.
It's good. It's good. Them going back, well, going up, like you said, at least they're more prominent on Dynamite and Rampage now. So it's good to see them other than on Dark Elevation.
Maybe one last thing we want to hit on before we move on here is, how about Brody King beating the crap out of Darby Allin at like a comic book store, choking him out and powerbombing him through the table, and the cell phone video goes viral.
That's the problem. How about the tattoo that he got tattooed on the back of his arm that says, "Here lies Darby Allin in a coffin."
See, I didn't realize this happened. Yeah. Eric, you were telling me that. So Brody King, after these attacks, because he also attacked.
I'm going to see if I can pull it up on Twitter while you guys talk about it.
Right.
So,
and then comic store, he's at a comic convention, like one of the biggest in the state.
And then Brody attacked Darby again at like another press conference like a week or two later and like put him through another table. So Brody King is just following Darby around town, attacking him at the mall.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's going to culminate, it looks like, in... This is my theory. There's obviously going to be a match between Darby Allin, Sting, and the House of Black. Ooh. Maybe Darby Allin, Sting, and someone else.
Miro.
Actually, that's a fair point.
Miro and Malakai seem to be ready to collide.
Correct. So maybe that against the House of Black, which would be a good match. It'd be a great match. Buddy Matthews, unfortunately, he's out right now, right?
Half the roster feels like is just on their way back.
You could even get like another woman, in there, and like you could have like Julia Hart feuding with somebody.
I like what they've done with Julia's character transformation too.
So this is the way I'm thinking in my logical head. What a great cinematic match that would be between Darby Allin, Sting, and the House of Black.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Graveyard match or something.
That's what I'm saying. It has the potential for a huge cinematic match because they haven't done that with Sting in a while.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's high time they bring that back, I think, for maybe All Out.
Six grown men going through a goth phase.
Yeah. But if AEW...
There you go. You bring the acclaimed.
But if AEW had Employee of the Month, can we say, for the month of July, I honestly would put Brody King.
Mark Sterling. Sorry.
Mark Sterling is his favorite manager and wrestler now. It's said here first.
Next to Maxcaster.
Next to Maxcaster. But I would definitely put Brody King as Employee of the Month because he's pretty relevant this month for the majority of it.
He's lucky he's not in jail just assaulting people out in public like that. I don't know.
So, yeah, that's this month in AEW in a whole. I guess we more or less talked about Dynamite, Rampage, and ROH in it. It brings us up to the next segment, a new guy to the Dark Side of the Elite. You normally can find him on MLW Rewind on YouTube under Straight Talk Wrestling as well. But you guys know him on the chat board. You guys seen his hits and shits, I guess you can say, in the comments. But now coming up, we got Uncle Bobby B.
Let's talk about some good guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about the troops.
This is Uncle Bobby B, baby. You're listening to Shits or Hits on AEWTF. What's up, wrestling fans? It's me, Uncle Bobby B. This is Shits or Hits. Get ready to plug your noses or smell the roses, because we're talking about what's good and what's bad in AEW over the past month. It's been a pretty wild month, but let's get started with something good right off the bat. I'm talking about Daniel Garcia. This kid is on fire. What a year he's been having. He has worked John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho, Minoru Suzuki, CM Punk, Jay White, Josh Alexander, Jonathan Gresham, Trey Miguel. I could go on. He's just about 24 years old, and let's also consider the fact he missed about 6 months due to that car accident a couple years back. Clearly, AEW is investing in this kid for the future. Big potential upside there. He is absolutely tremendous for his age. He's only going to get better. Big hit for Daniel Garcia this month. And speaking of hits, how about Ricky Starks getting a sneak attack by Powerhouse Hobbs this month? And maybe a face turn for Ricky Starks? I'll tell you, I like him as a heel. I could see him as a face, and I've been waiting for AEW to pull the trigger on this guy for a while. He's fantastic. Elite promo skills, great in the ring. Hope to see more despite that loss of the FTW title to Hook. Let's get on to Swervin' in Our Glory. That's right, I'm talking about Keith Lee and Shane Swerve Strickland. First saw these guys, thought to myself, Two guys they signed, they maybe don't have anything for them, gonna stick them together in a tag team, but wow, have they proved all the haters wrong. They've just been looking absolutely fantastic. Great decision to move the belts onto them. I think it'll help get these guys over with the bigger crowds. You know, it might not be Hit Row or Swerve might not be Hit Row anymore, but he's definitely in the hit column this month. He's an absolutely tremendous athlete. And one thing I like about Keith Lee, you listen to Keith Lee, you look at Keith Lee, he talks very softly. He's articulate. He's very thoughtful in his responses. Doesn't cut a typical big man promo, going to come out and scream at you. Keith Lee doesn't let his words do the talking. He really lets his wrestling do the talking. I really want to see the Keith Lee from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I want to see Keith Lee's cardio upped a little bit. Far be it from me to criticize anyone's cardio, but he's looked really gassed the last few times I've seen him out. I want to see him be able to go a little harder than he has. So I hope just for his sake, he's up in his cardio. And of course, there's no shame being thrown there. But let's talk about some shame, because in the shits column this month, it's the fans. That's right. It's you guys. Well, not you specifically, but some of you. Eddie Kingston been getting a lot of flack on social media over his physique. I think this is despicable for people to do. It doesn't matter what Eddie Kingston looks like. What matters is if he's entertaining you in the ring. And if you've got nothing better to do than hop on social media and criticize a pro wrestler for their physique, maybe you should get out and you know, hop on the treadmill or get out and get some fresh air a little bit, because I guarantee you Eddie could probably take you. And you know, while we're on the topic of shaming, let's talk about Jonathan Gresham, because he's been getting a little bit of flack after what happened following the ROH Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view, the loss of the title to Claudio Castagnoli. Apparently, he had a bit of an altercation with Tony Khan, and the internet mostly seems to be taking Tony Khan's side here. However, I think this is pretty sad. Doesn't matter how tall Jonathan Gresham is. Jonathan Gresham is one of the elite pro wrestlers in the world right now. He can twist you up 10 ways from Sunday. I've heard it directly from a current world champion in a major promotion that Jonathan Gresham is his favorite guy to work, because he can do so many different things. He'll tell you, put your arm here and move here, and next thing you know, you're twisted up like a pretzel. If we've lost Jonathan Gresham from wrestling altogether, I think that's very sad, and I think it speaks to a little bit of a bigger problem and another one of the shit column this month. I'm talking about, I got to talk about Tony. I like Tony Khan. I like what he's doing with AEW, but he's making some mistakes here. Jonathan Gresham is not the first wrestler to cite a lack of communication in the process. I mean, Gresham is one of the guys that held it down at ROH over the pandemic when ROH was kind of getting pushed to the side a little bit. Everybody else was working together. ROH wasn't. They weren't really running a lot of shows. He stuck around, and regardless of what you think of his height, which is completely irrelevant, this guy is elite. And if they lost him because Tony Khan wasn't communicating what was being done, there was no actual angle besides Claudio just signed, we're going to put the belt on him. It was a great pop. No shade being thrown on Claudio. He's fantastic. He deserves all the accolades, but I think it was a poor decision to just rip the belt off of Gresham like that without any future plans. And I think Tony's got a bit of a problem here, because he's becoming best friends with his wrestlers. And you know, it's still a business. You can't be best friends with your employees, because you're creating situations like this where you've got Tony Khan out hugging everybody, and then you've got a guy like Gresham who I guess doesn't feel valued when he really should. Because again, guys, if you don't believe me, go watch him, Jonathan Gresham. He's an elite level athlete. I don't care if he's 3 feet tall. That guy is incredible. And I really hope he comes back to pro wrestling, because I enjoy his work tremendously. And let's wrap it up, because I'm keeping things quick. I'm keeping things moving here. We're going to get back to the boys shortly. But the six-man belts, that's also in the hit column this month. I like the look of the belts. They've got nice relief going on them. Pretty good, considering AEW's got a lot of belts. You lose a bit of prestige for each belt. The more belts you have, the less prestigious it becomes to have one. And they've got quite a bit, but AEW is a very faction-heavy promotion, similar to, say, New Japan Pro Wrestling. And six-man belts really give some more stakes to those six-man matches. And we're seeing more and more of them in AEW as the roster continues to inflate.
let's hope that we've got enough work for everybody to go around and everybody's happy, because we're seeing some of the people who left WWE because they weren't getting used a lot, or maybe they were stuck in the mid-card. They've moved to AEW and they're not getting used a lot, or maybe they're stuck in the mid-card. So I'd like to see everybody get lots of room to work. Love what Tony Khan's doing, but he's got us book things a little more thought, a little more in advance. And that's it for me this month. I'm short and sweet and to the point. Hope you all enjoyed this. If you want to check out more, keep tuning in to AEWTF, because I'm going to be doing this each and every month. And I'm Uncle Bobby B. You can catch me on the socials at The Real Uncle Bobby B on Instagram. I don't use Twitter because it's a cesspool. And we'll get back to the boys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Uncle Bobby B. His first ever inaugural Dark Side of the Elite podcast.
Yes, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Good job, Bobby B.
It's a shame we couldn't have you on sooner, but I have a feeling...
We were on hiatus, pal.
We're on hiatus. I forgot about that. Speaking of we were on hiatus, pal, we decided to sort of... I don't know if people really knew that we started off as a BTE review podcast.
Yes.
Many moons ago.
That's the name Dark Side of the Elite for me, like, was for me, it was like a thing with Dark Order, but also how AEW Dark is called Dark because it's not on TV.
Yeah.
Like, hence the dark part. So we were reviewing like BTE and the stuff that wasn't on TV. So it was kind of a double entendre with Dark Side of the Elite. We were covering the stuff that wasn't on TV.
Yeah. Keeping that in mind, though, this is our next segment, which is kind of near and dear to my heart, which is YouTube. So we're kind of reviewing all the YouTube shows that we have. I mean, there's about a million of them AEW alone, but this is YouTube Theater.
This is YouTube Theater with Mr. Eric Reed.
So in this segment, we are kind of looking at every single vlog that's out there. I mean, there's a lot to cover, but you have your main three vlogs on YouTube. You have Sammy's vlog, BTE, which is obviously top dog, and Ethan Page's vlog. So the biggest thing this month for BTE that I've noticed is the storyline between Hangman Page and the Bucks. Now, something like that, I know Matt and Randy, you guys have been following since day one, but I know Matt has a little bit more insight into the entire storyline itself. How are you feeling about this whole tease at Hangman coming back?
Oh, man. It's been the story that is never going to end. It feels like it's been going on forever. Right now, the Bucks, like... The arc of their story is they're kind of at a low point, right? The Elite's kind of been in shambles with Kenny Hurt. The Bucks have lost the tag titles again, which they weren't really supposed to win to begin with.
Yeah.
But Adam Cole's been out injured. Red Dragon's been out injured. Hangman obviously has been gone from the group for a long time. But since Hangman defeated Kenny for the title, at the end of that match, if everyone remembers, the Bucks came to ringside and kind of gave Hangman that nod, like, you have our approval to go ahead and beat Kenny, right?
Yeah.
So that really started the initial tease of an eventual reunion, in my opinion, that's where this is all going. Because back in, like, episode 313 of BTE, Matt Jackson is sitting in his backyard and... The sad Hangman music that always plays, dun, right?
Dun. Ooh, doo, doo, doo.
Yeah, I love that song. It's so perfect for this whole story. But Matt Jackson starts typing out a text message to send to Hangman, and it's the exact same one that he typed out initially on the October 12th, 2020 episode of BTE 225. And it goes, the text message is, Hangman, hey man, I think it's time we talk. Can we just forget about the last couple of years? You're one of our best friends, and I feel like we just need to have one conversation. It can fix all of this. I love you, dude. So this was the same message that Matt had sent the Hangman back in 2020. This was on an episode of BTE where Cutler and Hangman were drunk in the parking lot, throwing pumpkins and watermelons like all over the place, smashing them. And Hangman left his phone inside of a smashed pumpkin. And it was Matt Hardy who found Hangman's phone, read the text that Matt Jackson had sent trying to mend that fence between them and Hangman. And Matt Hardy texted back to Matt Jackson, fuck off, Matt.
So it's actually funny because it even comes up in this month that Matt Hardy admits to sending the text to Matt Nick Jackson, which, by the way, if we're talking long-term storytelling, it's about as long-term as you can get.
Right. So, yeah, Hardy said, our friendship is over. Never speak to me again. So Matt Jackson interprets this all that Hangman said, sent this to him initially, but it was Matt Hardy like driving that wedge between the two of them even further. So in episode 313 this month, Matt Jackson ends up deleting the text message. He's kind of contemplating what to do. And in episode 314, again, early in this month of July, Matt Hardy confronts Matt Jackson in the locker room. He wants to atone for his sins now, reminding us that it was his fault that Hardy is the one who screwed up the Young Bucks' friendship with Hangman. And then Hangman, during a promo on Dynamite with Tony Schiavone, he's wearing a tie-dye shirt and a headband too. I was wondering if that was kind of like a little reference to the old Young Bucks colors and styles.
That was, I mean, it's 100% a reference to that, right? I think the biggest thing is that, just to go back on what you were saying, like the whole Matt Hardy atoning for sins.
Yes.
Can we talk about that just for a second? Just because all I can think about right now is once you said that was him getting absolutely beat down every single week.
All month.
Oh my God.
All month.
The private party beatdown was still one of the funniest moments of this entire month.
It was hilarious. Private party. Yeah. After Matt Hardy essentially admits that like he used abused private party and like had them do his bidding and took advantage of them, never really cared about them at all. So here's heel private party just laying the boots to Matt Hardy. And Isaiah Cassidy specifically is hilarious. He's like, all right, I'm done. No, wait, I'm not done. And starts beating the crap out of him again.
You know what it reminded me of is we talked about it, I think, Rampage Rollout on like one of our first episodes because there was the CM Punk and Eddie Kingston feud.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm good. No, I'm not. Yeah. He turns around.
The parking lot brawl.
Yeah, yeah. And it reminds me of, is it Austin Powers? The second one where he's on, where Dr. Evil's on Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm good. You son of a bitch. And just runs past him. Like, it very much had the same vibe. It was so funny.
Yeah, there's definitely a laugh out loud moment on BTE this month.
To be honest, that whole him paying people back, how much of that did Hangman earn, though, in that quarterly? Remember Revolution that year? I think it was 2020 or 2021.
Oh, yeah, that match.
Yeah. Yeah, the match where he won his first quarter earnings.
Yeah.
He also won private party's earnings.
Yeah, what a weird stipulation for a match that was. Yeah,
those envelopes were kind of your thin.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the back to the Hangman and the Bucks thing, during a promo on Dynamite, Hangman, right at the beginning of it, he's checking his phone and like kind of has a smile. So I think this is kind of like a deep cut of if you've been paying attention to all of this, that he got the message from Matt Jackson. He did send it to him. So after the Bucks lose the titles, tag titles to Swerve and Keith Lee, there's footage on YouTube or on BTE of showing the Bucks making their way off the side stage backstage. And you see Hangman kind of, he was there watching and he's looking through the curtain at the Bucks. And as soon as the Bucks notice him, he kind of turns around and runs away. And so it's a bit of a callback to like Hangman was watching at the curtain in Full Gear 2020 when the Bucks beat FTR too. So all these little things are tying together. In episode 314 of BT, the Dark Order are talking and they're dealing with the recent loss from the group of Stu, Allen Angels, and Colt Cabana. And they're saying they're still Dark Order forever. And Hangman comes into the scene here and tells them that the guys, they can't be down about it. They can't let it eat at you. Those guys were your friends, and I'm sure they're thinking about you too. And if you ever need them, they'll always have your back. And Hangman will always have their back, just like the Dark Order have always had his back. Doesn't matter how many paths you go down, you have to keep going. And then Hangman gets really emotional here, and the sad Hangman music starts playing again. And he says it's not too far to fix those friendships. And Hangman gets all anxiety riddled and says, maybe that's dumb. That's bad advice, and takes off. So he's thinking about fixing his own friendship with the Bucks, right?
So here's the thing with that. I felt like that entire segment for me, the Dark Order is like a big part of why we started this entire podcast in the first place. Because at the time, the Dark Order was
They were entertaining as all hell. They were the stars of the show.
And they were really the stars of BTE, yeah, period. So yeah. I think it's funny that that entire segment had become more of like, it had become like more about the Elite than it did. And like I felt like this entire month is pretty much just circled around the Elite, which it kind of has been for a while. Not a big deal, their show. It's their show. It is what it is. I feel like the Dark Order have kind of played a background now on that, which is a shame because
it's not what it. Yeah, it's the Dark Order is falling apart here slowly but surely. Now Anna Jay's even gone too, right?
So in general, I think to myself, it's just leading up to with the Dark Order being so in the background on non prominent on any of the shows anymore. I think this whole angle with Hangman and the Young Bucks, especially on BT, will come to a level where Hangman's going to have to choose. Is it the Bucks or is it Dark Order? And we'll see who has Dark Order's back. That's only my opinion from watching all this month in BT with the Hangman and Dark Order positioning, I guess you can say.
I feel like the Bucks are going to be turned babyface again, and like they might all end up on the same side here.
Yeah.
Bucks turn Dark Order?
No, the Bucks joined Dark Order. No, this whole story is all foreshadowing to like an eventual reunion with them. Even Hangman's gear, he had all the colored Young Bucks tassels like on his vest and on his pants and everything. It's all leading to a reunion between them, and even the recent tease on Dynamite with the recently introduced Trios titles. The Young Bucks were talking about the Trios titles, and the camera pans over, and it's Hangman standing there. And the Dark Order come in and kind of interrupt before Hangman and Matt Jackson can kind of even have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
So it's a slow burn here. We'll see where the story all goes. But it feels to me that an eventual reunion of the Elite, you could throw Kenny into that as well, of kind of the set of the Bucks and Kenny being heels. I think they all kind of end up back on the babyface side, united together. And maybe you can have a big like faction warfare with the Elite all reunited again. Maybe it's against Combat Club or whatever. I don't know how the Dark Order plays into it moving forward. It's maybe you're onto something there, Rand, but that's kind of where BT's at right now, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, kind of seems like it. I know I haven't really been watching Sammy's vlog as much. I know I watched at the beginning of the month because of the whole Alan Angels, I guess, his contract getting terminated. Or not terminated, it's but expired. Expired. Yeah. So there was a very like touching goodbye to Alan Angels thing, and then they made fun of it the week later with goodbye Fuego, which is very disrespectful, frankly. But Sammy's vlog has been kind of weird because like as much as you see them on TV, Sammy and Tay, it's like very much the same with their vlog.
Times a thousand. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not for me for sure.
It's a Sammy and Tay show. Yeah. I'm completely over. Before with Sammy's vlog with Marco now not being part of it, Alan Angel, so on and so forth.
Charlie is always funny on it.
Charlie, yeah. And like the whole crew, don't get me wrong, you see them once in a while, but it's definitely completely different. I was a big Sammy vlog fan at the very beginning, from the beginning, and I promoted it. But we can definitely see it's absolutely
blah. Yeah, it's gotten a little rough. To be honest, you kind of have like a hidden gem of the month here written down, Randy. I gotta kind of ask, what's that? What's your hidden gem of the month?
Well, this is YouTube Theater. I know we were pretty BTE heavy on it, which we should, because definitely was our start. But I know a lot of people listening right now are like me and a big toy collector and everything else. My hidden gem of the month is Ethan Page's toy vlog. Yeah. So if you're a toy collector like me, like I said, you'll really enjoy this series. It's very comedic, a lot of fun. Most of all, it's great to see his journey to find his holy grail of toys, which mostly has to do with Power Rangers and stuff like that. But on the episode that I recommend, it might be in the thing. If not, just comment. It's Ethan Page at Tohio with on the toy hunt. They're with the Acclaimed, Danhausen, and Mark Sterling.
Danhausen's so funny on these toy hunts.
Yeah. He's so good.
Power Rangers, yeah. But
is it Beavis? What happened?
Yeah, I have terrible impressions, so I'm gonna go for them anyway. I don't care.
But definitely take a look at it.
yeah, they're at the Tohio Toy Convention, and they're just talking amongst each other, talking amongst fans, and trying to find that holy grail of toys. So I definitely enjoyed it. Go take a look.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I know we're trying to encompass with this entire segment all of YouTube, because there's a lot of AEW structured content that doesn't even start to touch on things like Twitch. I'm big time into Brandon Cutler's Twitch, honestly. he does do some fun stuff on there, and it's, you see a lot of AEW superstars you don't really get to necessarily see like on a regular basis. Like
Adam Cole's prominent on there, isn't he?
Chugs.
Yeah.
Chugs.
Yeah, and even like Nyla. Like Nyla, like when's the last time you saw her? I guess we saw her this month versus Thunderstorm, the new.
Yes. Great new team name. I got to hand it to
them.
Yeah,
they got that one. But really, you're not really seeing her wrestle as much prominently anymore. So it's good to like.
Well, it's the women's division as a whole gets one or two segments in the same spot. Like that segment right before the main event every week. So it's like you get 2 to 4 wrestlers in the division get a spotlight. So it's hard to get them all on very frequently. But seems like
the YouTube thing in a whole definitely has like a lot of them, like Ali, Mark Sterling, Evil Uno, Danhausen, all of them have vlogs, Twitch. Then you got Evil Uno. It's more or less the same people if you really think about it.
It is. Well, I mean, they all hang out on their days off, right?
Cole Cabana, that's another one. Yeah. But there's a lot to watch. I try to watch it all, just like Eric as well, because there's never just enough wrestling in a day.
Yeah. I need 7,000 hours a week.
There is an overwhelming amount of content, just with AEW. Like, we don't even really keep up that much with even WWE stuff. I couldn't imagine trying to do all of it. Like, some people out here listening probably do, and God bless you. I don't, my goodness.
Oh, man. One thing I did want to touch on very quick is the fact that the BET title this month, now that John Silver has kind of come back into the fold.
Two-time champ.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it's slowly becoming one of my favorite parts again.
Mustard boy.
They're approaching it very much how they used to at the beginning.
Yeah.
Dedicating mustard. Some time. Yeah, throwing mustard packs and plates at tables and
solo cup boy. Yeah. What's all his names? We can go through all his little gimmicks there.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic each time as well.
Yeah.
It's the only shoot title in professional wrestling.
That's right.
All of it. But that kind of wraps up this segment. We've touched on all we can, really, here, I think.
As the months go on here, we'll always try to dig up a couple little gems from the YouTube side of the AEW world, because especially for BTE and like specifically like recapping some of this Bucks and Hangman story, so much of it does tie into little Easter eggs that you get even on Dynamite, like Hangman checking his phone and smiling and like indicating that maybe he got the text message from Matt Jackson.
Yeah.
So it's to get the whole picture. It, like, to keep track of a lot of this content, too, really just kind of adds a layer to following these stories that makes it that much more enjoyable and in-depth.
Absolutely. Now we're going to throw it to the piece de la resistance, the creme de la creme. Randy, do you want to introduce this next segment?
Yeah, the next segment is me, because we all love Randy.
We love you.
So it's my interview time. Every month I'm going to try to get you guys interviews of AEW people, influencers in the wrestling industry, so on and so forth. So enjoy this next segment. A friend of mine, my son's friend, just go and enjoy. This is In This Corner.
Randy, that's enough, Mr. Randy.
Welcome to In This Corner with Zane.
Hey everybody, it's me, Randy, from the Dark Side of the Elite and SNME Radio. You can catch us on all podcast platforms, and welcome to In This Corner. Now, I've been waiting a long time. There's not too many people I get excited about. I have talked to a lot of wrestlers and so on and so forth, but not too many people have been excited about, but I've been waiting to talk to him for a long time, and we've been talking back and forth and seeing each other. So I'm kind of excited. I know my son's excited too to speak to him today. At least I get some one-on-one time with him at this time. Now, you will know who he is. He is the promo king, the interviewer of the best in the wrestling industry. If you go to any of the Ontario indie shows, you will see him there cutting promos against the best on the mics. And last but not least, if you're lucky to know him, he gives better hugs than Tony Khan. Today, I have Mr. Steven Spice. How are you doing, Steven?
Great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for coming to me too. I know we've been talking about this for a little while and setting it up, so it's finally good to get some one-on-one time with you. I always enjoy seeing you at the shows. You already know that, so but at least one-on-one time and get to know you a little more than I already know you. So, how's everything today?
It's been going well. I haven't done much. All I've done is just play some games on my tablet and I've watched a few videos because I'm actually that might have a cold.
Yeah. So you're talking earlier, you sound a little stuffy. We still look great, my friend. So let's go right into the questions. Now, I was trying to think of where I first originally seen you, so I want to see how you answer this question. What was the first match you ever remember and gravitated you to say, I like this pro wrestling thing?
There was a post of Cody Rhodes in the Royal Rumble with John Cena's face all bloodied up and okay. everything. And some dude's like, what match is that? I'm like, duh, it's the I quit match, JBL versus John Cena, where he got put through a TV screen in a limousine window. My mom's like, you're right. Because I watched that when I was like 5, 6.
And you just been gravitated towards it. So what about indie wrestling, though? Remember your first indie wrestling event you went to?
I think my first indie... Yeah, I remember my first indie wrestling event. It was Pentagon Jr. versus some... I don't remember the other guy. In a piñata match, aka a Mexican death match. Him versus some dude. And that was my first ever indie wrestling show. It was... Well, not really indie. But it's like one of the biggest shows in wrestling history today. Impact Wrestling.
Yep.
It was Pentagon Jr. versus some guy. I can't remember him. I remember that. I got sparked from that, and I loved it.
Now, people don't know. They probably already do, and they're listening to you. You do so many interviews that are out with her. So many. A lot. And they're all great. Rising stars, current stars, legends. Now, you have your own YouTube page, Steven's Wrestling Journey. I know it's going to be hard, but give me your top three that everybody listening right now should go see, and top three that they should see, and the reason why that you enjoyed the most.
I think I would say Edge is definitely the top one. It's my most viewed one, and it was so fun to do. Colt Cabana.
Very good.
He's just such a nice guy. Like, he's amazing. Now this last part's hard because there's Cody Deaner from Impact, and there's also Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was an amazing interview. I think I'm going to have to tie them together.
Yeah, I remember watching your Cody Rhodes one. I know you and Deaner because I've seen you with Deaner at a lot of shows, what talking to each other and everything else. But I remember your natural reaction when you were talking to Cody and how excited you were, with a little nervousness and some, but how excited you were.
Actually, I think I'm going to have to tie one more in there.
Okay, here we go.
Darby Allin and Sting.
That's where I was going to go to next. Yeah, Darby Allin, Sting. That one you looked really excited as well. How long did you talk to them for? It must have been a while, eh?
Well, considering it was on a Wednesday where they have to go to like into a show, Dynamite, I think I talked to them for like half an hour maybe.
That's good.
An hour.
That's good. It was good. And everybody, go to YouTube to Steven's Wrestling Journey, his page, subscribe, like, watch all his videos. You'll enjoy them because I enjoyed them all. Next question. Steven, what's up with you and Serena Deeb lately? I seen what you did last show. What's going on?
If I'm being honest, in real life, she's such a good person. She is such a kind soul.
Yes.
But in the wrestling industry, I don't know. It's just something that we click in the in the mouthing off part.
Yes, she did. And you actually sort of broke her when you guys are bickering back and forth there. She was smiling at you, trying to act mean. So you're the one that stayed in character. Maybe she should take some lessons off you, huh? Get Steven's wrestling promo lessons, Serena Deeb, right from his YouTube channel. You might learn a thing or two. No, I love Serena Deeb, too. And it was good seeing her. Amazing, amazing person to talk to. Like you said, she has a big, big heart.
The first time I saw her at HWE, mm-hmm. when she won the belt, after the show, she came and signed all the things. And I'm like, she's like, you were just mouthing off to me earlier. Why aren't you doing that now? I'm like, because you're not that same person in the ring. She's like, you're a smart kid. And when I was leaving, I'm like, I can't wait to mouth off with you again. And she's like, I love this kid.
So here we go. Who is your current wrestler you'd love to do a promo against? And can you just give us a little sample of what you'd say?
This one's hard.
I can remind you of one that I thought was probably one of the best promos I heard when you did the Darby Allin come to at the Destiny show. Give a little example of that one.
It was like I came into the ring, I tap "Don't Overpay" by from Ray's shoulder. I'm like, can I have the remote? Can I have the microphone? And I'm like, CM Punk, you think this is over? This is far from over. We fought it all out. Now we need to fight at Destiny, the greatest wrestling promotion in Toronto. Destiny Wrestling! And then the owner of the company, Destiny Wrestling, George, mm-hmm. Iceman, mm-hmm. was like, done. He wins. Done.
And the whole crowd was popping. It was pretty funny. Okay, so we're going to go in. This is a little different question because we all know you have a condition. And if I'm saying it wrong, please tell me the proper way to say it. Chiari malformation, right? Is that correct?
Yes, Chiari malformation.
Can you tell me a little more about it and where can we go to find out more about it or help and support and everything? So just tell me exactly what it is.
So recently I raised $26,000, I think it was, to get more research because currently the USA is 10 years ahead of us. So I'm raising money to get doctors to research Chiari malformation and make sure no one goes through the pain that I went through when I had it.
Right.
And I just want to make sure no one goes through the pain and suffering that I went through when I had Chiari. I lost. It was just so bad. I hate Chiari malformation is basically something that makes your brain doesn't go this way. It goes down into your spine, which in my case, the doctor said he was surprised. I lasted 5 years with it, and he was surprised I wasn't paralyzed or even worse, dead. Most kids get paralyzed or die at that age if they didn't get surgery to fix it.
Well, you're really, really, that's when I sort of started talking to you, I guess, or seeing you around. And a person with a lot of medical issues, this is what I want to say to you, Steven. A person with a lot of medical issues myself, and seeing you always out there smiling and laughing and doing everything, you inspired me to just get out a little more because I wasn't going to many shows or doing anything and everything else like that. You're one of the strongest people I know, Steven. So I want to thank you for giving me that inspiration. And my son here can vouch for it as well. Because when I first met you, I was like, who's this kid? Why is he so infectious? And why is he making everybody so happy? So again, Steven, everything at the end of this interview too will be on the bottom. So links to Sick Kids, your YouTube, everything else. Facebook, Twitter, so it'll all be in there. If you want to know more about that as well, please definitely go look it up. Because again, this kid is the strongest kid I've ever met. So, any plugs or anything that you want to do, or anything that you want to talk, send out. Where should they go see you? I know I'm having Lynn listed here, but maybe they want to hear it from you as well.
They can see me at an Instagram, Steven's Wrestling Journey, or I have a TikTok, which is Steven's Wrestling Journey. I also have a TikTok for myself, where actually this is my TikTok.
Okay.
Steven Spice Zero. That's my first TikTok ever.
Very good.
My YouTube channel, Steven Dressing Journey. I have all platforms, Facebook, I think Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, it's all down listed here below. Your Twitter is Steven's Wrestly1. So I'll have it all posted below there for you.
That's it, basically.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Steven, for talking to me. You're my first interview, and I made sure it was my first interview on the new show here on the SNME Radio Network, AWTF. So thank you for coming on. I was so excited seeing you, and I'm always excited to see you. And big virtual hug, bud. Big virtual hug. Thanks, Pa. All right. Thank you, Steven, for joining me today. Have a great day, buddy.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Well, thank you, Steven. Again, I was looking forward to that interview for a little while. I talk to him all the time at the shows. I wanted to get you guys like a younger perspective on wrestling and what he thinks about it. And he's very, if you go to an indie show or like everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. Like if you're an AEW wrestler, WWE wrestler, go to the indie show. I'm lucky to call him friend, right? And like I said, the guy does have better hugs than Tony Khan. So if you ever see him, just say, hey, you watched his YouTube series, go follow it, so on and so forth. And tell him what you think of it, because he's always there to listen. So again, thank you, Steven. I really liked your views on it, and I can't wait to see you on the next show. And let's tear up Serena Deeb. But that was our show for today. Thank you guys, and welcome back, and thank you for all these breaks I've been taking, I guess you can say. But we struggled through, or not struggled through. That's a bad word. What word should we use?
We powered through.
And just like
Captain Planet.
There we go. But yeah, do you have any thank yous or anything, Matt?
I just want to say it's a real pleasure to be back in the studio here talking wrestling with you guys again. I really missed it. It's nice to be back. And it'll be nice to hear from the great listeners of the SNME Network as well. It's a real pleasure to have this opportunity to broadcast and do this show for everyone. So it's a real pleasure in my life to be able to do this. I don't take it for granted. I really appreciate it. It's nice to knock the rust off, and looking forward to doing another one next month with you guys. So if you guys want to give me a follow, I'm on Twitter at mroberts85, and Eric will give you guys the rundown of the rest of our socials.
If you want, check us out on Twitter at Dark Side of the E, Instagram at Dark Side of the Elite. Pretty much anywhere you can search up Dark Side of the Elite, that's us. Also, you can give me a follow on Twitch if you're a big Twitch person. I stream very regularly on twitch.tv/ERKE90, and you'll probably catch these guys on it eventually soon. I know the last VOD I have up there right now is actually me and Randy playing Apex together. So maybe we'll get Matt on this.
You can count me in to play some WWE 2K22. I just got it for my PS4 at home, so I'm practicing, so you guys better watch out.
You better watch out. Hey, you know how many online matches we're going to have? Randy, I'm going to throw it to you. You got any plugs?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess on Instagram, we got a new Instagram account. Go follow at AEWTF. On Twitter, we are AEWTF4. What the fuck for? I thought it was great.
Who let this guy on?
I'm sorry, buddy. And make sure you go follow Bobby B's MLW Rewind on YouTube. You can look at that up, and Straight Talk Wrestling on YouTube. He does a MLW recap show every single week. It is really, really good. So yeah, definitely go follow that.
Or catch him in the comments in any SNME radio post. Trust me, you'll meet him.
Bobby there. Bobby Bags, that's Uncle Bobby B.
Love you, Bobby.
There you go.
Bing bong.
So thank you all again for listening. And I guess until next month. Biggest thank you to SNME.
Of course. We're back. How could we forget?
SNME. I didn't forget. Thank you.
Thank you, SNME, for having us back. Thank you for everything. Like, absolutely everything. You guys are absolutely amazing. We are a great community here on SNME.
Absolutely. No joke.
pretty much the whole reason we started a podcast. Exactly. Right? You know, we wouldn't be where we are without them. So thank you very much,
guys. Much love. Much love.
So until next month, I guess, come in, join us.
Roll the paws up.
Pussy.